And it's 11 o'clock and time for another Spotlight here on Red River Radio. Very good morning to you. I'm Kermit Poling. Joining me in the studio, the music director of the Shreveport Symphony Orchestra, Michael Butterman, as he has been on the air many, many times, this time at the beginning of an all-new season. So welcome, Michael.
Thank you, Kermit. Good to be here.
How was your summer?
It was fun, thank you. Yeah. How was yours?
It was hot. I spent a lot of time here, but
I did too.
But it was also good.
You know, that's still hot though, isn't it?
Yeah, kind of.
Not as much.
But we're at the beginning of a new season for the Shreveport Symphony, and this concert is an all Tchaikovsky concert, which is a lot of fun, I think.
It's certainly music that is very popular with the public in general, and it's easy to understand why. Tchaikovsky's music is full of wonderful emotional contrasts of dynamic. He's just a really dramatic composer. He, of course, is famously the composer of The Nutcracker and a lot of other story ballets, Swan Lake and so on. But even his instrumental music has a real sort of dramatic flair to it, an arc to it. And so we are playing his beloved Fifth Symphony as the sort of main work on the program, opening up with a Polonaise, a dance from his opera Eugene Onegin. And then we are also featuring Shreveport native, John Henry Crawford.
He was local at one point.
He was local when I first first came here, and he is a citizen of the world now. John Henry is one of the great cellists of his generation, and in fact, just won a major international competition last month in Mexico. This is his first orchestral engagement since that.
And
we're delighted to be able to welcome him back to Shreveport to play this Rococo Variations by Tchaikovsky.
Yeah, and it just so happens, how about that John Henry is in, I want to say in the soundproof booth and can't hear a word we're saying. That part is true. He's in the Weiss Performance Studio and ready to play a little bit of Bach for us. So why don't we hear him play a little bit and then welcome him in and we can chat about the rest of the concert.
Sounds good.
All right, so here is John Henry Crawford playing the music of Bach. Thank you. All right, Shreveport's native son, John Henry Crawford, performing live in the Red River Radio Performance Studio, the Weiss Performance Studio. A little bit of Bach to get your listening started this morning, to get us focused on the concert that he'll be performing. Well, he actually is part of two concerts this weekend. We'll talk about both of them with the Shreveport Symphony Orchestra. John Henry's on his way into the studio. Michael Butterman back in the studio with me here. But that was lovely.
It's just gorgeous. Absolutely. I mean, the way that Bach writes for a single instrument to sound somehow polyphonic. It's brilliant writing and, of course, gorgeous playing as well.
Thank you, John Henry. Absolutely beautiful. And welcome to you, and thanks for being here this morning.
Great to be here.
And it's great to always have you on the air. We keep referring to you as Shreveport's native son. You've done so many things beyond the boundaries of just our area, and congratulations on your recent win. And
thank you. I really appreciate that.
Aside from that, what have you been up to? I know you've been busy.
Yes, been busy. Of course, the competition preparation takes a lot of time and a lot of energy, so that was my main focus this summer. I'm working up the repertoire for that. It's three rounds. There's a solo round to begin with, and then a recital round, and then a solo with orchestra round. And each one, you have a different program. So that took up a lot of energy. This summer, though, after the competition, I was fortunate to record a CD, and it's in the works, and hopefully it'll be ready later this year. So that's another thing that I've been recently
fantastic.
Up to.
Fantastic. Yeah. Are you able to say what's on the CD?
Yes. So okay. As far as I know, at this point, it's going to be Brahms, music for Brahms, a Brahms sonata in F major.
So chamber music. Okay.
And Shostakovich cello sonata, and then the Ligeti solo sonata.
It's quite a combination.
Yes, it is.
Excellent. And, that's a major project. So you've had a lot going on.
Yes.
And then coming back here to play some Tchaikovsky. You mind talking a little bit about the variations?
Sure, yeah. Yes. It's a piece that's very dear to me. I learned it, it's been over a decade since I actually learned the piece, started learning it. But it's very special for me, this concert, because the first time I heard it was with the Shreveport Symphony, and it was with Jonathan Lewis playing cello, mm-hmm. and it was, I think I was about 11 or 12 years old, and it was for a Home for the Holidays concert. And
remember that one? Yeah.
Yep, that was a really fun event, and that was really, I think, the catalyst that propelled me to want to pursue a career as a cellist and as a musician. Hearing this piece and seeing what he was doing on the cello, it was just so inspiring.
Okay.
And I was
nice.
So moved by the music, and I started, the next week I started practicing a lot more, and I got more serious about it, and started going to summer festivals, and it really, was kind of a snowball effect, and here I am playing it with the Shreveport Symphony. So I'm just so grateful to be back playing the same piece that inspired me with the same orchestra that inspired me.
Yeah, that is a great story.
It really is.
It's always good to know that what the orchestra does, what we do in our musical careers, can have that kind of inspiration yep. on other people, especially young kids. So wow, terrific. That's great. And the variations on a Rococo theme is of course one of the great pieces in the cello repertoire.
It really
and
is.
A really familiar one too.
Yes, absolutely. And it's interesting, the story behind the piece itself, because as with every cello concerto, there's it's either written for someone or there's iterations that are made. And with this particular piece, there were actually two different versions of it. There's a Fitzenhagen version, which is the one that we're going to be playing, and with the one that most people do play. And then there's also a different version that Tchaikovsky originally wrote, but with the help of Fitzenhagen, it became a different piece. And in the original version, the order of the variations was changed. There was even a different variation included. But ultimately, the one that really survived and is played the most is the Fitzenhagen one, which we're going to be playing. Yep.
I'm glad we agree on that.
Yeah.
We hadn't yet confirmed
whether it was going to be which version.
Yeah. That was what I was planning on. Sorry about we're on the same page.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. That's part of an all Tchaikovsky program that as Michael said, Symphony No. 5 and music from Eugene Onegin, the Polonaise. Michael, why don't you talk about the whole you know, how all this program fits together, aside from just the composer's name.
I mean, sure. One thing I have mentioned a couple times around town the last couple of days is the fact that Tchaikovsky's music, as I said when we first began speaking, is dramatic. It's full of contrasts, lots of pushing and pulling of the tempo, and things you see in a score that you certainly didn't see so much, or maybe ever, in scores before that. Things like four Fs,
it was a man of extremes.
Exactly, and four Ps as well. You know, we're talking about really, really wide range of dynamics. And yet, Tchaikovsky's musical idol was Mozart. He said so on many occasions. He wrote a orchestral suite, which is subtitled Mozartiana. And this piece, although he didn't write a cello concerto, this is essentially his cello concerto, but it is one that is based on, if not a melody by Mozart, at least the idea of a Mozartian phrase. This is a theme that he Tchaikovsky came up with on his own, but it was something that he felt might have been written by, let's say, not maybe somebody in Mozart's day, let's say.
Sure.
So this romantic composer is here writing a series of variations on essentially a classical Rococo theme, which is a little bit unusual somehow. But then the Fifth Symphony that we're closing the concert with is a piece that, in some ways, like his Fourth Symphony, continues his relationship with the idea of fate. It was, as is the case of with so many pieces by so many composers, written at a time of emotional turbulence for Tchaikovsky. He wrote to his patroness, Madame von Meck, that the opening motive represents resignation before fate. And so this motive that we hear played at the very beginning by the clarinets and bassoons is one that is programmatic, I think it's fair to say. We hear it in all of the movements. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it is kind of in a depressed vein, which is sort of the way we hear it at the very beginning, soft, slow, in a dark register of the clarinet, in a minor key. But in the second movement, this beautiful, gorgeous melody played by the French horn is the subject of the first part of the movement, but then somehow we're interrupted by fate, which has come back now, that same motive played by the brass in a very brutal kind of way. The third movement is a waltz rather than a scherzo, but it's essentially a dance you could almost have imagined from a ballet of Tchaikovsky's. And yet at the very end, we thought maybe we were just in a dance world somehow. At the very end, that motive rears its head again, now in a 3-4 time. And then finally in the last movement, we hear the motive in major key to begin, and then later on in the piece becomes almost like a victory march. And so it has the same shape in a way that I would say Beethoven's Fifth Symphony does, that it goes from darkness to light, it goes from minor to major. Shostakovich's Fifth Symphony is the same way in some respects. I think it ends certainly on an uplifting note, but there's even a little bit of a, I don't know, question mark or something toward the end. He even gives us yatatatam at the end, which is, if anybody's aware of Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, that's a motive that would ring a bell for sure. So anyway, it's a piece that is easy to love on the surface, but there's a lot of depth there and compositional structure that you don't necessarily notice right away. But when you pay attention to it, it really does kind of hold together very beautifully and really tell a compelling story.
Well, of course, this concert is tomorrow evening, 7:30 p.m., and it is for at least a few concerts. We're still in First Baptist Church in the sanctuary there, waiting for Riverview Theater to complete the renovations that are going on there. A hall with just beautiful acoustic. And as I was listening last night, I mean, just that warm sound of the orchestra in that hall, it's just a beautiful place to be able to hear, especially such romantic music as Tchaikovsky. Tickets, by the way, and information are available at ShreveportSymphony.com. You can also call 318-227-8863. That's TUNE, tune, if you look at it that way. But there's more Tchaikovsky also Sunday.
There is. We are fortunate to start off our Knoll Foundation Chamber Music Series with a concert the next day, Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock at Anderson Auditorium on the campus of Centenary College, featuring John Henry Crawford, playing along with musicians from our orchestra. This is a piece, or a program, rather, called Postcards from Italy. So these are pieces that are in some way related to Italy. We have one piece by an Italian composer, the Chrysanthemums of Puccini. He's a composer, obviously, we associate with opera, but wrote a relatively few number of purely instrumental works, and this is certainly among the best known and most beautiful of them, a piece for a string quartet. And then the Suite Italienne of Stravinsky, which is certainly or basically a reworking of some of his Pulcinella ballet, which is itself based on music by an Italian composer, Pergolesi. And so this features our new concertmaster, Kirsten Jahn, and a colleague of hers from the University of Houston on piano. And then we have more Tchaikovsky, as you said, his Souvenir de Florence, which is a string sextet that he wrote as a remembrance of his trip to Italy. And this is, I mean, this is just such a piece. It's practically symphonic in its you know, writing for six different instruments, and it has a real lushness to it, and real, I mean, fire and complexity, but also beauty. I mean, you can.
It's a real masterpiece, and so many lush, beautiful melodies, particularly in the second movement. And each movement is so different in its form and in its character. You really do get this picture of Florence and this picture of, you know, Italy, and it's very much a great encapsulation of his time there, probably. Yeah.
Well, it's an amazing opening weekend, and I will say this about Sunday, the Knoll Foundation series, those concerts are free.
They are absolutely free, and a great way to introduce even, you know, kids to classical music. It's roughly an hour on Sunday afternoon. So we hope everyone will come out for that.
So that one's Sunday afternoon, the big symphonic opening night, again, tomorrow night, 7:30 p.m., and that at First Baptist Church on Ockley, a wonderful place, easy to find. If you've not been there before, just Google it. You'll get led right there. Again, information at ShreveportSymphony.com, or you can call 318-227-8863. And Michael, John Henry, anything else you want to add?
Just my thanks to you and my thanks to John.
Really excited for it. Yeah,
for coming back to play this with us.
It's going to be an exciting opening weekend. So I've been speaking with John Henry Crawford, who you heard earlier playing on cello. He's the featured soloist for tomorrow evening's concert, and also featured on the chamber concert. And Michael Budman, of course, music director of the Shreveport Symphony. If you're with an organization, you have an event coming up, you'd like to be featured on a future spotlight, give us a call at 800-552-8502. John Henry, Michael, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.